listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. No updates from Dante Whitner after being the first to check out the uniforms, as he said.
He's probably just trying it on right now.
I'm sure.
You know, maybe got some fresh Nike cleats to match,
he
so he's still
Nike
in
photo
uniform.
Shoot. Yeah, I mean, I said he had a Nike photo shoot, so we certainly will see there. Let's take a look now. We talked about it earlier. Matt Miller from the Bleacher Report did a full 7-round mock draft for the Cleveland Browns. At number 12, he had them taking Danny Shelton, saying Shelton's a great value at number 12, a massive, literally and figuratively, need for the Browns, could be the anchor they lack in the middle of the defense and free up inside backers to make plays inside and outside the tackle box. May not be a sexy pick, but it's the right pick as they get a foundation piece on defense. We've talked many times about what a guy like Shelton or Haloti Ngata does for the linebackers behind him.
Oh, it's absolutely it's a great pick. And again, the teaser was that both yourself, and Kevin Jones all have us taking Danny Shelton at 12. And the key reason why is because the big three at wide receiver are all gone. And I think yourself, myself, and maybe Kevin Jones, I can't speak for him, all would be open to taking whatever wide receiver is available at 12 of the big three that is left. Next step is you fill an immediate need, because Danny Shelton, along with, as you said, Phil Taylor getting healthy, John Hughes now, you know, on the contract extension, Randy Starks, he injects youth, you know, and is another body in that rotation full of those defensive fronts that Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill just dream up. And we'll find a great role for Danny Shelton. You've got a young run stuffer, a first and second down guy that you'll absolutely love having as a part of an active role in that defense.
And Mike Pettine talked about him down in at the owners' meetings in Arizona, saying that he thought he was a special player, thought he was a guy. Danny Shelton, he said, and I quote from the head coach Mike Pettine talking about Shelton, saying that he is a special player and a special talent, somebody that could really help this team out. So if Danny Shelton's there, he also said, though, I think he might be long gone. He might be long gone.
That's true.
For those wondering, he says Randy Starks can play all spots on the D-line, but primary position will be a 3 technique.
Yep.
John Hughes will be a 3 and 5 technique for the team.
Would you like an explanation of what that means?
Of course. That's
absolutely
why I'm teeing you up, Mr. Right. Played in the NFL.
Here we go. Danny Shelton would be, again, play a significant amount on the center, meaning aligning head up on his outside shoulder to his right or to his left. A 3 technique aligns on the outside eye of the guard. Okay, so he kind of dominates that B gap, and that's his role. And what that guy does is he stunts into the A gap in certain zone blitzes. He can also, you know, stunt outward, but mostly he's playing the outside eye, and he's going against, you know, the top guard on most teams as well. And then he said with Starks will play 3, and then John Hughes will play 3 and 5. A 5 technique will actually move out a gap, and he'll be the inside eye of that tackle. So he's playing the outer portion of that B gap and playing in that gap as well. So a 3 technique in front of a Carlos Dansby like Starks or Hughes is going to be a huge asset. But an active nose tackle that can take 2 but also penetrate like a guy in Danny Shelton is a great thing to have in a 3-4 defense.
Quote, special talent could be long gone by the time we pick. In Matt Miller's mock draft, he's there because the receivers go early. Now he gets to number 19 and goes with Max Williams, the tight end from Minnesota. You haven't heard a lot about him recently. I don't see that happening. I don't see the Browns going Max Williams at 19. I think if they were targeting Max Williams, they're trading down from 19 to try to pick him up later in the first round. I just don't see it happen. So that's where he's got the Browns in the first 2 rounds. We will go ahead and now go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline, OBM. Preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. You know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. Joining us now is the Browns preseason analyst and analyst for the NFL Network, of course CBS as well, Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, how you doing, man?
Doing great, and good to be on with you.
Good to be with you. Had a good time with you out there at the Combine in Indianapolis, and you were recently at the Veterans Combine. How was that? What did you think of it? What did you see?
Well, you know, I think it was just the beginning of what will be many, and it's an opportunity for players who have had a taste of what it feels like to play in the NFL. It's sort of a second chance for them to revive their careers. We've seen it happen with other players who have walked away, come back, and then have successful careers. There's one player that walked away from the game, came back with the Redskins, ended up with a Hall of Fame career. His name is John Riggins. So players like a Felix Jones, who didn't quite run a great 40 time, player like Michael Bush appeared to have some wear and tear to his game. But a guy like Mikhail Lashore probably will get a second chance to play in the league. Some guys just need closure. They're so banged up, but the heart is willing, the body isn't able, and they need to go through that process just to be told no one more time before they can actually hang it up. So I thought it was a good camp. There were a few guys that showed well, and some guys, I think, showed poorly enough to know that it's time to hang it up.
Solomon, making a transition into the Browns offseason, not so much a part of the first few days, even the first week of free agency. What do you make of the free agent acquisitions by the Cleveland Browns in that second week? Tremont Williams, Randy Starks, and now Dwayne Bowe.
Yeah, I like those three players for the Cleveland Browns. Starks is one heck of a player, and let's face it, he'd still be with the Miami Dolphins had they not acquired Ndamukong Suh. So a good player, can play in a 3-4 front. Tremont Williams is a guy that I've always thought he was a really good corner playing out in Green Bay. They're among some of the better coached defensive backs in the National Football League playing in that secondary. So he's going to be, I think, an addition. He's going to be an improvement.
You like him better than Buster Skrine?
Yes, I do. I mean, look at his career. I mean, his career says that he's played better than Buster Skrine, even though Buster is a player that has been improving. But let's face it, Buster isn't going to be a primary number one or number two corner with the New York Jets. He's going to be a number three. So that's probably about really where he slots in. I think you would ask the Browns coaching staff, they would tell you the same thing.
Solomon, when you look at the addition of a guy like Dwayne Bowe, Brian Hartline, these wide receivers seem to be in a better shape this year heading into the season than they were last year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, they're better than maybe what you've had over the last couple of years. You know, at that position now in Cleveland, you just want stability. You want even production. You want players who are going to be available and can stay healthy. I think that's what you're trying to get. And if both guys caught 50 or more balls, I think you'd be happy with that. I don't know that you're asking them to catch 90 to 100, but if both caught 50 or more balls, I think you'd be very elated with that. And Hartline, being from the area, you know, he's a guy that would certainly want to be there. He's going to catch maybe 40, 50 balls. Very reliable, great route runner, excellent hands. And Dwayne Bowe gives you that big-bodied receiver. He's not the touchdown machine. I think that we all know that. But he can win his one-on-one battles. He's not going to lift the top off coverage, but he'll work the middle of the field. He can run the slants. He's brave and bold. He'll go inside. You still need that burner on the outside that can lift coverage and create the long ball within the offense. So work's not done in terms of rounding out wide receiving core for the Cleveland Browns.
Solomon, that kind of piggybacks into my question. Now that we've met the need, some need with veteran experience in Brian Hartline and Dwayne Bowe, the Cleveland Browns have been earmarked in many mock drafts to take a wide receiver, maybe at 12 if one of the big three, Devontae Parker, Amari Cooper, or Kevin White, drop to them at 12. Do you think that a wide receiver is still in play now that they've signed these veterans?
Yeah, as long as he has the speed to lift coverage, because that's the piece that you're missing, quite frankly. You know, a wide receiving core, what you want in it, you want diversity. You don't want all the guys to be the same. You want good diversity. I think you have that. If you put Andrew Hawkins in the mix, a guy who can work the middle of the field, who can move the chains for you. Hartline is a chain mover. Bowe is a guy that really should be more productive inside of the red zone, but certainly he'll hit the bang eights and hit the slant routes with that big body of his. But you need a guy who can lift coverage and lift things up so you can get over the middle of the field. You're still missing the tight end that you can add there. But at the end of the day, you got to get somebody who's going to throw on the ball and someone who can be there consistently and be productive, can provide the team and the offense with some leadership. That's the offensive line you love. At least you feel good about it. But in all the other areas around the quarterback, including the quarterback, that's where you can have some improvement.
And that's what I think the Browns will do during the draft. Talking with Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, want to get your thoughts overall on the free agency strategy of the Browns. Much has been made of kind of following a model in some ways similar to the Baltimore Ravens. The Browns entered in this season having used the compensatory pick program only 6 times, lowest in the NFL, the Ravens north of 40. But at the way things are shaping up by signing guys who are released by other teams, Tremont Williams being the team's only true unrestricted free agent that they signed, losing as many players as they have to nice deals elsewhere, the Browns could be in line for, you know, as much the maximum of 4 compensatory picks in 2016.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, I look at picks and saying, okay, that's great, but, you know, you don't want to end up with too many picks, particularly as you have a roster that's beginning to improve. I mean, think about how many guys that weren't on the team a year ago, if you didn't sign them in free agency to big contracts, are truly going to come in and make your team. So now you're going to have to use those compensatory picks. You don't get to trade them away. I mean, you can't package those things up to trade them. So they're currency, but not in the true sense like other draft picks that you can trade away.
Right.
So as the roster in Cleveland begins to improve, and I think it has over the last 3 years, now when you go into the draft, it's harder for those rookies to stick and stay and make your team. And so when you acquire more picks, it makes it that much more difficult. At the end of the day, I'd be trying to parlay the two first-round picks to get the quarterback that I want. I think time is now that the Cleveland Browns begin to get it right when it comes to that position.
Solomon, one final thing. As a former player yourself, what was your reaction thoughts on the retirement from Chris Borland of the San Francisco 49ers?
Hey, you know what? We know the kid can play. I mean, I know he can play. I watched him last year, and it's like this kid can play. He seems to be walking away for all the right reasons. He's made a good decision. You know, I'm encouraged. You know, every year we interview players who have fallen on hard times and brain-related illnesses, and they talk about having had concussions. And then, you know, we come off of those interviews saying, what more can be done? Well, the league has answered. They begin to educate players a little bit more. They begin to put in safety procedures to get players off the field who are suffering from some kind of brain trauma or concussions. And then with that education, on the other side comes players' ability to know themselves. You know, and Chris Borland saying that he experienced some concussions last year during practice. We don't know if he's battling other issues, but to be able to walk away, turn away, he's talking about giving back 3/4 of signing bonus. I commend him for making the decision, not robbing from the game, not pretending to be in it when he really isn't. And so I think we have to take it for face value and say it is what it is. And I think the kid's making the best decision for him because he clearly seems to be making an informed decision.
Solomon, thanks for the great stuff. As always, good to be with you.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. That was Solomon Wilcots. When we come back, Mary Kay Cabot will join us from Phoenix, site of the owners' meetings. Give us the latest on what's going on there. Her take on the comments from Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, as well as all the latest Browns news and notes. That's coming up next here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.